It's so funny how in life, to quote Forrest Gump, it's like a box of chocolates, isn't it? There are bits of it that are really good and bits of it that are just totally poo. Yeah? Yeah? And in hearing that story of Uganda, it kind of feels like what we're in at the moment. Bits of it are really, really good, really exciting. And it's amazing to hear those stories. And I think it's incredible when people do something that touches the community and the community acknowledges that is God. That's when we know we're really getting somewhere. When a police force stands up and says, excuse me, since you've been here, something has changed. For me, that's a real qualification, a real endorsement that something's happened. It's not just us as a bunch of Christians feeling something's happened or thinking something's happened, but it's actually hard evidence that something has happened and that something has broken. And that's very, very exciting. And of course, that comes in the middle of the 2 weeks of all the events of last week and of Jordan's funeral and of all the pain that there is around that. And what happens in, what I want to talk about in the widest sense of the word, what it's like to be under suffering and disappointment. Because it comes in many guises. Obviously it comes in terms of grief, in terms of losing somebody. But in our current culture, in our current economic climate, there's an awful lot of suffering around economy, unemployment, jobs, money, all those kind of things. Yes? Yes? That's what we're living in at the moment, isn't it? I know, I run a business, it's tough. Yes? So, suffering comes in many guises. Suffering can come in physically with illness, with pain, can't it, with all those kind of things. Suffering can be mental, it can be mental illness. And let's really be honest, in the church, we haven't been very good at dealing with mental illness because it's almost like we can't have that problem because we're Christians. We can't get depressed because we're Christians. You know, it's kind of, that's been a bit of a hard subject to talk about, hasn't it? Or am I the only one? Hello? Come on, let's be honest. Let's have an honest morning this morning, yes? Suffering comes around all sorts of things. If you're a parent, it comes around perhaps seeing your children walk in a way that you don't want to walk in. That's suffering, isn't it? It's disappointment, isn't it? Perhaps it's around relationships that are broken. Perhaps around promises that haven't been kept. Perhaps it's around just not feeling you fit in church. Just not feeling you have many close friends that you can really relate to, that you can really help, be helped by. Yes? Am I the only one here that feels all these things at times? Thank you. Yeah? Don't we go through all those kind of things? Perhaps somebody else is doing better than I am. Perhaps who else is a bit wealthier than I am, or it just seems that they don't seem to have the same problems in their family that we have in our family. Or am I the only one again? Hello? Come on. This is the stuff we face. This is the stuff of life, is it not? Is it not? It's the stuff that's out there, is it not? So if we can't start by acknowledging it in here, we sure as heck aren't going to help them out there. Honesty is the starting place. You see, I want to re-nail this. There is a massive difference between doubt and unbelief. And often we go around feeling we're in unbelief when actually what we're in is doubt. Doubt is often the road to faith. Because when I start asking the questions, that begins to give me the permission. And as I begin to ask those questions, what happens is this. As I begin to ask those questions and get in the face of God and begin to find answers to those things, what happens is the water in the lock of hope begins to rise. And as hope begins to rise, we move to a new level, which is called faith. And then we come out at a new level. Unbelief is totally and utterly different. If you read unbelief in Scripture, in the light of the nation of Israel, it is a willful decision to ignore God and acknowledge Him. That's what unbelief really is. It's about a totally different thing. Hello? Unbelief is about an acknowledgement that God doesn't exist. Unbelief is about Israel refusing to believe in this God who's flipping breakfast in every morning and dividing seas in two and doing all that stuff. No, we still won't believe. That is flipping unbelief. That's different to you and I doubting. Okay? Doubt is not a sin. Okay? Doubt is the beginning if you'll face up to it and acknowledge it and say, actually, do you know what? I'm really not sure I believe about that. I'm really not sure if I believe in healing. I'm really not sure, actually, how many days I actually feel very saved. Good. Is my answer to that at one level? Because let's acknowledge that. Let's find faith in that and let's let the hope rise. So as the hope rises, we get to a position of faith where we can go and we can say, actually, I found God in that difficult season. Can we go to Psalm 22 up on here? I love David. I love the fact that his story is probably, after the story of Jesus, probably the best recorded story in Scripture. Because not only do you have the whole kind of the normal thing like you've got with Gideon or Moses and people like that, not do you only have kind of all the historical data in, and you get flashes into the community life through the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. You know, you understand what he was dealing with, you understand the processes, you understand what's going on in his family, you understand about Saul, you understand about his persecution, you understand about his battle with David and Goliath, you understand how he goes from the hillside to the temple, to the, being in the court. You understand, the mistakes he makes, which are just horrendous, aren't they, let's be honest. They're just horrendous. I mean, the man is, associate to murder. Yes? Yes? But yet a man after God's own heart. Yes? I'm not making it up, am I? I haven't read it wrong, have I? Okay, just want to check. So what happens in Psalm 22 is we have David at one of his lowest moments, actually. And of course, what happens after Psalm 22 is he writes Psalm 23. Believe it or not. Which probably is one of the most influential pieces of writing in Western culture, without a shadow of a doubt. It is just extraordinary. Okay? So how does David get to Psalm 23 from Psalm 22? I'll show you how I think it works. And I'll show you what happens every time you and I face a struggle. Every time you and I face a battle, every time you and I face grief, face a question like, why did Jordan die? So, when I was leading this church, I went through a period where I buried 4 children. Joshua, Ryan, Hannah, Emily, brain tumor, car crash, cancer, born with leukemia. I remember I had a weekend when I was leading the church when I had 3 people in intensive care in one weekend. I didn't know which hospital to go to. 2 of them lived, 1 of them died. One of them was Christian Forster. Three people in one weekend in intensive care. When it comes in like a flood like that, there's some lessons to learn. When you go through a period in your life where perhaps you can't get work or your career isn't working out, when you go through a period of life when perhaps your family is not functioning properly and your children are out of control or your family is out of control or your finances are out of control, whenever you go through any of these cataclysmic type things, there is a pattern that takes place. And this is it. The nearer you are to the center of the earthquake, the greater the damage. The further you are away from the center of the earthquake, the less of the damage. But in the earthquake of your life, when you're at the epicenter, it is catastrophic and the buildings come down. So you can look at somebody's life, like when I looked at my friend Paul and Sarah's life and they lost my godson Joshua, the earthquake went right in the ground. And I was very, very near to the center. So believe me, it was carnage. But if you hardly knew them and they were just kind of in the congregation, then you were way, 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 way out here. And yeah, it hurt, but to a certain extent, you were an observer to the earthquake. So it wasn't the same. We mustn't feel guilty about that. There are times when we have issues that affect some of us and don't affect others. The key is this. This is the takeaway. This is the takeaway. If you're at the center, get help. If you're out here, guess what you do? You give help. That's the takeaway. When that happens, the first thing that gets tackled always is your identity. The first battleground always is your identity. It's the first thing that always takes place. We all live in these logical levels. And your identity is all about one massive question. Your identity is all about this question. Who are you in that situation? Second question is about your belief and values. Second question is why. So God, why did this happen? Why is that happening to me? It's a second logical level that we hit. Happens to all of us. These processes happen to all of us. And I can show it through all through scripture and how Jesus dealt with all through scripture. And you're going to see in the 23rd Psalm how David deals with all these logical levels and meets them and finds God in them. It's fantastic. But if we don't understand how we're processing this stuff, we don't really get healed. We don't really break through. So the second question is why? So why did Joshua die? Why did that earthquake take place? It's all those questions. It's the why question. The third question is capability. Capability is about how. Capability is about how can I cope? How can I get through? Do I have the resources to get through? It's the how question. How do I get through this situation? How do I get through this tragedy? How do I get through this suffering? How do I get through dealing with my children being out of control? How do I be a better parent? Yes? How do I be a better father? Yes? Do you hear what I'm saying? It's a how question. And particularly for guys, this is massive for men. Massive for men. Massive for men. Because we're so wanting to be the father, the provider, the giver and all this stuff. So when this gets tackled, boy, that's hard. Particularly for guys. Particularly for guys. The next one is around behavior. The next question is, what do I do? What should my behaviors be? How should I behave in this situation? What's my response to this situation? How do I work in this situation? How do I function in this situation? How do I respond in this situation? What do I do? And the final logical level, the final level that we're actually into, is where and when. Where is this taking place? When is it happening? When is the environment beginning to change? And this is a bit more complicated, so I'll explain a bit more at the end. I know it's not quite so obvious and hit you in the face as the others, but I'll explain a bit more at the end. But environment is very important to us. You put us in the right environment. There's a culture and environment here, you see. There's a culture and environment of care here. If you place yourself into that environment, you'll find it a lot easier than being outside of the environment because you won't benefit from that environment. It's just a basic human need. We all know the thing, don't we, that you go into the countryside and you find some space. Yeah. Everybody has a special place to go, don't they? Mine is my garden. Name me some of your special places you like to go where you just, it's a good place for you to go, a good environment. Come on. Name me some. Seaside. Any others? Riverside. Any others? Forest. Any others? Park. Any others? Alps. Any others? Mountains. Any others? Shopping. Good girl. I was going to say cafe. I was just about to say cafe. I find Costa is a great place to go for me. Seriously. Newspaper, coffee, suddenly life has a bit of a better perspective. Or am I the only one? A pub, a beer in your hand, you know. I was at Wembley last night with Lewis watching and play Belgium. That was a great environment to be in with my son, yeah? It was good for us to be in that environment together, to bond together. It was very good, particularly as we won. It was even better with Welbeck scoring. That was great. So it was a good environment for us. It was a good place for us to be. Now let's go to the 22nd Psalm. Now you read this. My God, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? Environment. So far from the words of my groaning. My God, I cry out by day and you do not answer. By night and you are and am not silent. Yet you are enthroned as a holy one. You are the praise of Israel. And you, our fathers, put their trust. They trusted you, and you delivered them. They cried to you, and you saved them. In you they trusted, and they were not disappointed. But listen to this identity question. I am a worm. Hello. Hello. Hello, hello, hello. The great man of God, the King of Israel, how does he describe himself? A worm. Got that? Got that? Really, really got that? The guy that slayed Goliath is what? Say it. Do you think the dentist has been tackled? Wow, has he got a different identity here? Yet the line before he's saying, my God, you're so great, you're so fantastic, you're so up here. But actually, God, do you know what I feel like, man? I feel like a worm. His identity is shot to pieces. It is shot to pieces. I cannot think of a lower analogy he could use in his culture than a worm. Give it to me. I can't think of it. It's worse than a flipping ant, even. At least they're in community. It's a worm. It's a miserable, slimy, greasy, horrible worm. It's the lowest of the low. That's why he's such a great writer, isn't it? He just captures it. Not a man. Wow. It's even clearer than that. I'm not even a man. He's lost all his manhood and identity. Do you hear this? And he's a worm. It's not what I'm saying, it's what he says. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. Next verse. He who trusts in the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb and you made me trust you, even at my mother's breast. Where is his identity again? Right back up here. Man, he's going through a yo-yo in this one, isn't he? This is really consistent Christian behavior, isn't it? Hello? This is an unbelief, of course. But I do hear a bit of doubt, or am I the only one? Hello? Identity, identity. From my birth, I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb, environment, you have been my God. Do not be far from me. For trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Environment, capability. Capability is nil at the moment. I am surrounded. I am stuffed in modern English. Utterly and totally stuffed. Yes? Come on, let's go on. The roaring lions tear their prey open, their mouths wide against me. I mean, what more? I mean, how big can you make this? I'm poured out like water. Context, environment, context, desert. My environment is poo at the moment. It's desolate, it's broken, it doesn't work. I'm poured out like water. My bones are out of joint. I'm physically in pain. This stress is so great, it's actually impacted me psychologically and physiologically. I'm now in pain. My God, he is depressed. Hello, wake up and smell the coffee. And don't just band him as arty-farty and that's why he's speaking like this. This is a man that showed immense courage. Immense courage. He's not a wuss, but he's totally in touch with who he is as a man. Okay, next verse. Sorry, I feel a bit passionate about this. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue sticks through of my mouth. My capability has gone. There is nowhere for me to speak. Even my voice has gone. I don't feel I can do anything about this. Do you hear it? Do you hear it? My behavior. I don't know what my behavior can be. I've lost my strength. I've lost my heart. I've lost my voice. I'm broken. Utterly broken. It's gone right through me. The dogs have surrounded me. The band of evil men have encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I wonder what that's a reference to. Just drop that in there. Could be the cross. How prophetic is that? At his very lowest moment, he is quoting what's going to happen in 2,000 years and doesn't even know it. How cool is that? How cool is it that he's absolutely at his lowest moment, his worst moment, God breaks in? Do you know one of the things that happened to Jordan last week? A dove came. Did you know that? A dove came. A symbol came. Isn't that extraordinary? In all that pain and suffering, a dove turns up and flies in. On two occasions, they've seen doves. And both times, they've just known it's the Holy Spirit moving and coming. John 14 says, if I don't go, the Spirit cannot come. The Counselor, the bringer of all truth, he cannot come. And when he speaks about that, he doesn't just speak to the disciples about their relationship with Jesus and the crucifixion of Jesus. He speaks about us now. And he says, I'm coming now for you now through my Spirit. Okay, let's keep going. I count all my bones, people stare and gloat over me. They divide up my garments among them and cast some lots of clothing. Hello, hello, hello. Isn't that extraordinary? I mean, how supernatural is this, guys? That this man should write this now. Whew. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it? I mean, that just blows me away. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. Next verse. Deliver me, my life, from the sword, blah, 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 blah. Rescue me from the mountain of the lions. Declare your name. Keep going. I will praise you. And you will fear the Lord. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Look at this. Verse 25. From you comes the theme of my praises in the great assembly. It's exactly what Paul was bringing us to this morning. It's exactly what Paul was ministering to us this morning. Exactly. You are spot on, mate. This is the end line. This is the game we're playing for. This is where we're headed. This is the future. Hello? This is where we're going. This is where he's going. Keep on going. Just read that. That's where we're going. That's it. Isn't it an extraordinary start? Just read those verses and take them in. Just really, really take them in. And just think about the poor in the widest sense of the word. The emotionally poor, the mentally poor, the physically poor, the health poor, the relational poor. Just think about all those people that you know that are poor. I love it, may your hearts live forever. It's wonderful, isn't it? So, very interestingly, is that the end of the psalm? I think it is, isn't it? Is there another verse after that, or is it going to 23? Oh, it does. Look at this. Let's go to the next bit. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to let you read these verses. Next bit. I think that's the end, is it? Okay. Now, take out the bloke on the Harley Davidson arriving along with the sign saying Psalm 23. Take out the brake. Right? Now go straight into Psalm 23. What's the first thing he tackles? Now he's broken through. What is this about? Identity. That's a good response. Identity. I know I'm all right because why? 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 That's my context. That's my identity. That's where I stand as a man, as a woman. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Isn't that extraordinary? Environment. He's really concerned about your environment. Your home, your family, your house, your road. Capability. What's his capability? Verse 3. Come on, what's his capability? What else is he? He's a guide. He's a restorer and guide. That's his capability. That's God's capability in this situation. In all that you're going through, if you're in pain at the moment, his capability is to restore and guide you. Restore and guide you. It's good, isn't it? You know, when I saw this, it's like I began to weep. I'd never seen the psalm like this until I read it against these headings. It's really changed me, this has. It really has changed me from the inside. Even though I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, what could that be but the worst environment of all? The worst. I fear no evil, for you're with me. For what is with me? Capability again. Rod and staff. What does a rod do? What does a staff do? Strength and protection and support. Come on, what is it? Identity. Authority. Healing. It's tied into that, isn't it? It's a great one, the authority thing. It's capability. I love it. All you need is a rod and a staff. And your Lord. All you need is... And where are... let's really go for this. God, I'm so over time. Where are the rod and the staff? Where are they? They're in where? Where are the rod and the staff carried? In the where? In the where? In the where? They're in your hand. Or they're in a pouch on your back. They're right near. Behavior? Oh, fear no evil. Not bad, is it, for a psalm? Wish I'd written this. Five. Where are we back to again? Which one of these three are we in now? It's a bit of all of them, isn't it? He provides the table. That's a capability. He brings some environment. You bet he does. There's a banqueting table, praise God. Good wine, good food. We're there. It's identity. We're all together as friends around that table. In the presence of mine enemies. Hello. If that isn't identity, I don't know what is. Suddenly the worm has gone. And the man can sit at a table with his enemies and what? Fear no evil. Hello. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Next verse. What's that about capability? Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, I reckon that is game, set and match for identity, belief, values, capability, behaviour, don't you? I think that's the deal done, don't you? So why have I spent so much time on all of this? Because actually we don't think like this very much. What happens very often is we don't actually think through why it's a struggle for us. We just feel a bit down, or we just, I'm trying to say. And for some of you at the moment, there'll be one of these that is really being challenged more than the others. And there'll be times in your lives when they're challenged. I had a phone call 24 hours ago where somebody said to me that I was an idiot. That's what that tackled. They questioned my capability in a situation. They certainly hit my identity. And that's why I found it so difficult. That's why insults are difficult. So I'd like you just to close your eyes for a moment. And Paul, I'd like you to come. I'd like you to sing over them the 23rd Psalm. Would that be all right? Do you want the words for it?
Please.
Thought you might. So what I've done, I put in my little book for you. And just close your eyes. And if you're going through a great time and things are brilliant, that's fantastic. So why don't you just think about this for Jordan's family at this moment in time? And as we're singing this song, as Paul sings it over you, if you just know that you're facing something that's in that psalm of the shadow of death or a difficult time, a difficult period in your life, as you begin to feel that the Holy Spirit comes to you through what I've said and through this song, and you just want to acknowledge that actually I just feel I'm a step nearer, I'm just a bit of a step nearer to knowing he is the shepherd. I'm a bit of a step nearer to knowing that I have a rod and I have a staff that I can use. I have gifts that I can use. I'm a bit nearer to knowing that I'm in the right environment. If it begins to just break for you, I'd like you just to stand as acknowledgement and say, Lord, I acknowledge today that something's taken place. Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. For you've given them to me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. And surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's our hope. And if you found some hope today, just stand. Not even a bit of faith, just a bit of hope. Just stand. And Paul's just going to sing it over you one more time. Just rest in his presence for a moment, would you? If you want to sit, stand, whatever. Just for a moment, just really enjoy those green pastures. You might be walking back into the Valley of the Shadow of Death this week, but at this point in time, just enjoy the green pasture. And what we want to say to you as a community is that we want to walk with you. We want to walk with you towards your table of your enemies. We want to walk with you through your green pastures and rejoice. And we want to walk with you through your valley of the shadow of death. We just want to be mates and friends together and just walk it through. Not be on our own. Loneliness is the most awful thing. Thank you, Lord, for being with us this morning. Thank you for Paul's anointing as he's led us so beautifully this morning. Thank you for Di's courage and her commitment in being here. Thank you for the wonderful testimony. Thank you for being Jesus again this morning. Amen.